Good evening. Well, the Master has bid me to welcome you and thank you for coming this evening. And I thank you myself also. This evening, I'm going to be reading out of both the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And we're going to be talking about offense. We're going to be talking about your foundations. We're going to be talking about path. And I'm going to be reading from Isaiah and from Matthew and from Psalms and 3 Nephi and also from Helaman. So there's quite a few places that I'll be reading from. But first of all, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about offense. If you have ever been offended by anybody, usually it's because of something that they said. I know that's what gets me most of the time is through something that they've said to me. It offends me. It hurts my feelings. Or if you've been trying to do what you thought was right, and somebody comes along and tells you what you're doing is not right at all, and you're doing it completely wrong. When that happens to me, I get offended at times because I think I know what I'm doing. At least I thought I did. So we are easily offended. And that's what happens to a lot of us. That's what happened to the house of Israel. They were offended. They were offended by Christ, the Master, because he told them basically that what they were doing was not what he wanted them to do anymore. And he also told quite a few of them that the way they were going about doing it was wrong. So he offended them, and it caused them to stumble. And they were told that it was going to happen to them. They were told that they were going to be offended. They were told that because of the offense, they were going to stumble, and that it was going to be Christ that was going to do it. And they didn't want to listen, and they didn't believe him. If you'll turn to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. And this is a quote out of something that's in the New Testament. And I'm going to read just the 14th verse of the 8th chapter. It says, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." So they didn't get it. They didn't understand that Jesus Christ was going to come along, the Savior that they'd been looking for. And he was going to tell them that he wanted them to do things contrary to what they had thought. And so they got upset with him. And they got mad at him. I've done that before myself when people have told me that I'm doing something other than what they had ordered me to do. However, the thing that I think that actually got them in trouble is the 15th verse. And it says, "And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." So doesn't that sound to you like the ones that stumble and fall and are snared, they're going to be taken away, so they're going to be the bad ones, right? Well, that's not it. They didn't understand what the rock was all about. And they don't understand how to be broken. But this is what Christ wants us to do. Let's turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter of Matthew. He wants us to fall. He wants us to stumble and be broken. Chapter, and I'm going to start at the 42nd verse. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. He's the cornerstone. And for those of you who have been baptized, you understand that. You understand that you have to fall on Jesus Christ and be broken in order to be taken. Taken by him. For those of you who haven't been baptized yet, you might not understand this. But what he wants you to understand is that you have to fall on Jesus Christ, on his commandments, and your heart has to be broken. You have to have a contrite spirit, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, in order to do the Lord's will, in order to keep his commandments. So don't be offended when he tells you to do things that you don't want to do. When he tells you to do things and you think, that's too hard. I don't want to have to do that today. I don't want to have to go to church tonight. I don't want to have to go to church on Wednesday. That's too hard. I don't want to have to go and partake of the sacrament because the service is so long. I don't want to have to stand up and bear my testimony. I don't want to have to go and help the MSO. Or I don't want to have to go and help the United Workers. I don't want to go to Young People's tonight. Well, he tells us that we're supposed to meet together often. And he tells us that we're supposed to have charity and that we're supposed to obey his commandments in all things. So if we're supposed to have this charity and obey him, when he tells us to meet together often and to lift each other up, and if a brother is in need or someone asks you to do something for them, you need to do it. You need to help them. You need to humble yourself. You need to get up. And when the people come to gather together in the name of Christ, the preacher needs to be there. And when the preacher's there to preach the word, the people need to be there to hear it. It's a commandment. Something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for each other often. We do that at the beginning of most of our services. We do that most of all on Wednesday nights and at sacrament service. So you need to be there. Pray for one another. It's a commandment. If you don't, then you're going to get the last part. Because it says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You know what you're made out of? Mostly water and dust. You're going to be nothing in the eyes of God if you don't fall on that rock first. And they were warned. They were warned. The house of Israel was warned over and over and over again. And they kept, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they just pushed it aside or said it wasn't what it said. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how they convinced themselves, unless you could say it was just Satan really got to them. Turn to Psalms, the 118th chapter of Psalms. Starting at the 17th verse, it says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. And the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I've been chastened. They were chastened. But maybe it's because I live in this time and Christ has already been crucified and resurrected, and I have both of these books, that I understand it better than they did, maybe. And maybe those of you who haven't been baptized or who have been baptized and refuse to do what he said, maybe we need to try to understand it a little bit better. There's so many things that he has commanded us that we are refusing to do. Put away the things of the world. Try to remember that we have a very short time here and that eternity is forever. Because if we don't, we will be ground to powder, to dust. I know that this is sounding, or it seems to me like this is sounding doom and gloom, but this is serious. If you don't try as hard as you possibly can to keep all of his commandments every day and let that charity, that pure love of Christ, shine forth from you all the time, you're not going to make it. I won't make it if I don't do that, and neither will you. There's a certain way to get into that gate that they were talking about, to go through that gate. Yesterday we saw two enter in the gate. And they stepped onto the path that Christ tread. The example that he gave us. They stepped on it yesterday and they started their journey. Today will be their first full day. How long do you think they're going to have to walk? You know, it's a long ways between here and the end for a lot of us. For some of us, we've already gone most of the distance of that path. For some of us, it's just right around the corner. And I don't know who it is for each one of those circumstances. And neither do you. But it's going to happen to all of us. Turn to Helaman, the second chapter. Turn to the third book of Nephi, page 628. Thank you. And we're going to read some of the commandment. Starting at the 49th verse, he says, "And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. For behold, for such I have laid down my life, and have taken it up again. Therefore repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved." He's pleading with us. Please repent. Come to me. Do what I ask. It's really not that hard. If you'll just trust me and believe what I've said, I will take care of you. I will make your burdens light. Those are the things that he's promised us. It's a path. It's a straight and narrow path once you get through that gate. But you can fall off of that path. And it's a long, bottomless fall down into the darkness, into the cold black alone. You'll end up being the only one there in the darkness. You'll be cold because at one point in your existence, in all of our existence, we will see God. We will stand before his throne and we will be judged. And we will see what the goal was for all of us. But those of us who have refused to walk down that path, after we have seen that light and felt that warm love of God, if we refuse, the only other place for us is the dark, the cold, the alone, where you're going to hear weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it's going to be just you making the noise. And you'll be so unhappy. So how much better would it be just to go ahead and do what he said? Because then you're going to feel happy. Those of you that were here this morning and you partook, did you feel the spirit that was here this morning? Did you feel the love? Did you feel happiness? Did you hear the testimonies of the things that God has done for all of us? Did you feel it? Yesterday, when the two got baptized, did you feel the Spirit? I did. It was wonderful. When Megan came up out of the water, crying, coming up out of the water, it was all I could do to even think. I was just amazed at how wonderful it felt for me, let alone how it had to feel for her the very first time to ever feel that love that strong. And then when they got the laying on of hands, and all they wanted to do was smile and cry at the same time, and everybody hugged them. Do you want to feel that for the rest of your life? The happiness, the joy, and the love. Then all we have to do is keep His commandments to the end. It's a short journey. 100 years in human time at the most. To be able to have that love with you constantly. Turn to Helaman, page 550. And I'm going to start at the 16th verse. Because here's a group of people that are struggling here on earth. And they're having to deal with the world and all the evil and the garbage that's in it and everything, but they're trying. And they've got leaders that are trying to do God's will and trying to be righteous. And here's how it went. The 16th verse, it says, "The 46th year of the reign of the judges ended, and it came to pass that there was still great contentions in the land, yea, even in the 47th year and also in the 48th year." So it was hard, just like it is for us. "Nevertheless, Helaman did fill the judgment seat with justice and equity." They had a righteous leader. "Yea, he did observe to keep the statutes and the judgments and the commandments of God. And he did do that which was right in the sight of God continually. And he did walk after the ways of his father, insomuch that he did prosper in the land. And it came to pass that he had two sons. He gave unto the eldest the name of Nephi, and unto the youngest the name of Lehi. And they began to grow up unto the Lord." So they had a righteous leader. Unfortunately, we don't feel that way today. We don't feel like we have righteous leaders leading our country and our world. They might not be righteous, but let me tell you, they've been put there by God because those are the ones that we deserve as a nation, as a whole. Maybe not individually, like most of us here today, I believe, are struggling to be righteous like Helaman. But God has put the leaders of our country in place because of what shape our country's in. So it's hard right now. "And it came to pass that he had two sons. He gave unto the eldest the name of Nephi, and unto the youngest the name of Lehi. And they began to grow up unto the Lord. And it came to pass that the wars and contentions began to cease in a small degree among the people of the Nephites in the latter end of the 48th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi. And it came to pass in the 49th year of the reign of the judges, there was continual peace established in the land. All save it were the secret combinations which Gadianton the robber had established. In the more settled parts of the land, which at that time were not known unto those which the head of the government, therefore they were not destroyed out of the land." So because they had a righteous leader, it got better. Peace. Things were going well. They had a righteous leader because that's what the majority of the people wanted. Unfortunately, those that are with me here at this time in this room were the minority in our country. Most of the people in our country don't want to do what Christ said to be righteous. Most of the people in our country still want to be able to do all the sins of the world. And I'm not even going to go there because they're just too many. And they each say, well, I'm not as bad as the other. I'm not as bad as that guy, or I'm not as bad as that guy over there. I might be a little bit bad, but, you know, I still want happiness. And I say I believe in God, yet they don't want to do everything that it says. Maybe it's because we haven't told them enough. Maybe we haven't told them enough times. Maybe it's because we're afraid to speak out. Maybe it's because we haven't figured out that the love that we're supposed to have for our brother, our neighbor, is the same love that Jesus Christ has had for us, and he was willing to die for us in order to bring us to salvation. Are we willing to embarrass ourselves to go talk to our neighbors or our extended families in order to let them know what it is that's wrong with our nation? What we need to do to make things right? I don't know. Sometimes I feel that way about myself. And it came to pass that in this same year there was exceeding great prosperity in the church, insomuch that there were thousands who did join themselves unto the church and were baptized unto repentance. And so great was the prosperity of the church, and so many the blessings which were poured out upon the people, that even the high priests and the teachers were themselves astonished beyond measure. That would be awesome. But I heard some of that this morning. So we do have some of it. So why aren't there thousands of people joining the church today? Is it because Satan is so much stronger? No. He's not any stronger than he's ever been before. He hasn't gained strength. God's the strongest one. Christ was way stronger than Satan. Strong enough that he got him kicked out of heaven. Never could go back. Of course, he had to let his mortal body be killed. And it came to pass that the work of the Lord did prosper unto the baptizing and uniting to the church of God many souls, yea, even tens of thousands. That would be amazing. So here we go, right here, the next two verses. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will, in the sincerity of their hearts, call upon his holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. All right, so the world says, well, if you believe on Jesus Christ, then you're saved. That's not true. To a point. Because part of it is true. If you believe on Jesus Christ, then you're going to do what he said. All of it. But if you don't, and you just say that you believe, you're not going to be saved. That's the difference. You have to lay hold upon the word of God. Okay, 26 verse. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil. Remember, I told you that Jesus Christ was more powerful than Satan. And lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, the man of Christ, his soul, yea, their immortal souls at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob and with all our holy fathers to go no more out. The man of Christ. It's a straight and narrow path. I saw an example of the path one night in a dream, and it was straight. And it went on all the way to the horizon. It was narrow, only about 3 feet wide. And there was a great gulf just over the edge, going down into the mist, to the darkness, the cold. That's where there was a lot of people. It's been prepared since the beginning. And unfortunately, a lot of people are down there. But when you get there, you're going to feel like you're alone. Try to imagine the picture that the world paints of hell. You know, they show flames and caverns and stalactites and stalagmites and devils running around with pitchforks and all these people running around screaming and losing their minds and all of that stuff. Well, and they make it seem like it's really hot. If you were in something like that, I know if I landed in a place like that, I'd first be looking around going, wow, look at all of this. I wouldn't be thinking, oh, woe is me. I'd be looking at the show that was going on. But if I landed in a place that was just pure black, like when Christ was crucified over here, it was pure black. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't even get a fire to light. It was just dark. And there was weeping and wailing. That's what it's going to be like. That's that gulf of endless misery. So, what he wants us to understand is that he truly loves us. He's happy that we are trying. He's very happy that we're here tonight. But he doesn't want us to stop, and he doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to keep going to the end. And the only way that we're going to be able to make it is together. Because if you guys all left and I was here alone, I'd stop. I'd probably give up because you weren't there to encourage me. And if we just left one at a time, we'd all lose. So we have to work at it together as a group. And when one of us falls down, we need to pick him up, dust him off ever so carefully, not rough, but carefully, fix his wounds, and set them back on the path with the rest of us. And those of us who haven't started on the path, come on, please. Doesn't hurt that much. Doesn't hurt at all. It'll make you cry. But it'll also make you smile while you're crying. Because you're going to feel some love you've never felt before in your life. Like getting the best, most wonderful hug from your mom and your dad. And you just feel the love. That's what we've got waiting for us. So please, those of us who are on the path, let's keep going. Don't give up. And don't let anybody fall. If you see somebody that stumbles, pick them up, please. Those of us who haven't gotten on the path, come on. It's not as bad as the world says. And believe me, it's a lot more fun. So thank you.